Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Amen. Now, if you would, just lift those hands. We thank you, Lord, that you are holy. You've called us to be holy. You've called us to be separate, to be set apart. We thank you, Lord, and so we read in your word in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Lord, so I can live holy, I can live right, I can be right, act right, think right, and talk right because of your Holy Spirit in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we thank you, Lord, for the strength and the power to be holy. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way. So we pray for illumination knowledge right now, revelation knowledge, Lord. Give us insight, give us understanding into your word that we might live it, understand it, and then apply it to our life. So we thank you for your word, Lord. We bless you on today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Just want to again say happy Father's Day. And family, as we have been on this whole series of spiritual warfare, and we're still on it, our scripture base is Ephesians 6, 11, and 12, where it's telling us who we're really wrestling against, so we make sure we're not warring against the wrong enemy, or we don't get it confused of who and what we're dealing with. So as in the midst of spiritual warfare, we come to the point that we've been studying the last 3 weeks, and it's within the spiritual warfare, the choice that we have to make is between the old man and the new man. And so, fathers, the best man you can give your family is the new man, not the old man. We don't want to see the old man. We don't want him fathering anything. We want the new man being the father. We don't want the old man marrying anything. All the ladies should be saying amen. Fathers, we don't need the old man marrying nothing. We need the new man. Your wife, your kids deserve the new man in God. So we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. We know that we see casualties every day of this warfare that we're in. So here we are with the choice. Am I going to be the new man or the old man? We pick it up from last week. That's a Titus chapter 3. And just briefly going through verse 1, we talked about how we're to be subject or how we need to be in order to those that are above us, those who we are under, whether that's on the job or in business, in government. We should be following rules. Verse 2, not speaking evil of no man, not brawlers, not fighting, but gentle. So we're going back and forth between what the new should be doing and what the old should be doing. Verse 3 talks about when we were sometimes foolish and disobedient. Verse 4 says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Then we get to verse 5, where I want to pick it up today. And it talks about, it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved it. I had you underline that last week, his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So by being filled with the Spirit of God, we should be new. That's where James said in chapter 3:26, faith would, just like the Spirit, the body without the Spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. It's talking about this same Spirit that Titus 3 and 5 is talking about. That's the Spirit we need to be renewed with, renovated, refreshed with, the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're technically not even alive. We refer to zombies and all the living dead. And we walk around and we see it every day. It's a tough scripture. But anybody, according to the scriptures, anybody without the Spirit of God, without the Holy Spirit, is not even technically alive. They're dead in their sins. So, 3 and 5 is what we would call being born again. You must be born again. Make a note, John 3:3. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. You should have through Jesus Christ underlined, our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified, that means declared righteous by his grace. Underline his grace. Not by works. You're not justified because of your works. You're justified by God's grace. Amen. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Underline heirs. Justified by grace. Declared righteous by grace. I was doing a Bible study last week with one of my group homes. The young lady was 15 or 16. And she said, but what about all the stuff I've done? She said, how could God forgive me? I said, well, you got to welcome to the club. That's all of us. It's not by works. You can't. Because if you could live right, that means then you could save yourself. Just try my best to explain it to her that if you could do it, then you wouldn't need God. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's by his grace that we're saved. And she was having a difficult time with that concept. But that's where the faith comes in, and you just have to understand, because we've all done stuff that we're not proud of, and we hope never gets put on the 11 o'clock news or in the National Enquirer or on Facebook or YouTube or something. We hope no one's secretly recording our conversations and then going to share them on TMZ or something like that. We've all said stuff and done stuff we're not proud of. Amen. We thank God that is by his grace. But another word that stuck out in verse 7, we should be made heirs. Underline heirs. So let me tell you what heirs mean. That means that you're an heir with Jesus Christ, an heir. One who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship. That's why we are sons and daughters of God. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we became sons and daughters of God, which made us heirs. So there's an allotted possession that's due to us. And somebody should say amen. Somebody should be happy about that. That is good news, that we're heirs with Jesus Christ. We now have the silver spoon in our mouth, so to speak. I don't know about you, but I was not born with the silver spoon. But I thank God when I was born again. Now I do have the silver spoon because I'm a joint heir with Christ. Amen. And so when we recognize who we are in God, it just makes a big difference. It's just like. I remember growing up, and I had 3 older brothers. You know, when you have the big brother, I mean, it makes a big difference, you know. But God, so to speak, is our big brother. We're heirs now. So especially my brother Lavelle, and we're 2 years apart. And just growing up, he was a guy I looked up to. And he taught me how to fight, taught me how to play ball. And then, you know, you go to the park and everybody know, hey, you know who that little, that's Lavelle's little brother, that's Lloyd's. Hey, man, you Joe's brother? Man, oh, that's Joe. You just walked into stuff. And then your chest stuck out. And then you start thinking, you somebody, you know my brother's Lavelle. Oh, that's your brother? Oh, man, you know, that's your that works for you and against you. That people try and put labels on you before you know who you are, then you're trying to live a life that's not even you. So it works for and against you. And so now we're heirs with the King of Kings, which is Jesus Christ, which brought back another thought. Because we always wanted to be king of something. So ladies, take it easy on us, because that pride got put in us at a young age. I don't know if you guys did this, but we used to have the king of the school in sixth grade. We had the king of the school. Yeah. Ladies, did you have the queen of the school? Yeah. Really? Did you? Ladies, did y'all do that too? Okay, all right. So we had the king of the school. What kind of sense does that make? Who's the king? Nobody's the king of the school. And the king of the school was normally the kid who could fight the best but couldn't do the work enough. Yep. The dumbest kid is the king of the school. You gotta be. That's that pride. That's it. And so we're always competing. But now we're joint heirs with Christ, and now it's not about competing, but it's about surrendering. Gosh, that's a tough shift for us as men. Now we have to be humble and surrender to God. We humble ourselves so he can lift us up. And it's a lot of things we don't have to do now because we are joint heirs, and we don't have to worry about certain things. Ladies, this is how you can tell if a man is surrendered to God. If there's humility in his life. If humility is a lifestyle. If there's forgiveness. If there's grace. If he can accept responsibility. And if there's growth. Big difference. So, okay, as I'm studying this, turn with me real quickly to 1 Peter. I want you to understand this. What it means to be an heir. And you know, if we were born into one of the wealthy families, the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, the Hearst family, you know, oh man, that's great. But our father is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, sir. And it's not just for here, but it's for where to go and what's to come. So here we are, 1 Peter. And Peter, he's writing to Jewish believers struggling in the midst of persecution. Let me say that again. So this is who Peter's writing to. He's trying to remind them of who they are. Jewish believers, they've converted to Christianity and now they're struggling in the midst of persecution. And Peter's telling them, you conduct yourselves courageously for Christ's sake. That's 1 Peter 2 and 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Underline that. Chosen means you're favored, you're picked out, not picked on. You've been selected and appointed. You are a royal priesthood. That's kingly, that's regal. You belong to the priestly fraternity. Not just any fraternity or sorority, you are now the priestly fraternity. A holy nation, which means you've been consecrated and you've been set apart, a peculiar people. Says God's special people. So as we're in the midst of this war with the old man and the new man, you have to know who you are. You have to know that you're an heir. So when the enemy tries to give you the deception of this, what do I call it, this orderly system of deception, you have to remember who you are. So you don't get caught up trying to be something that you're not and participating in something that you have no business participating in, because you are a king, queen, chosen people, royal priesthood. Your life should be different. We don't have kings and queens over here, but if you've ever been to England, they have the king and the queen and all that, and princes and all that kind of stuff. It's a certain way that they live. Certain things they have access to. Certain things that they just know. We don't live like that as Christians because we don't know. Or either we don't believe. I don't know which one it is. You know why you don't live as a king or as a queen. As a peculiar people. Take a quick look at Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. One of my favorite scriptures. Keep your finger on 1 Peter, we're coming back. When you're there, say amen. Deuteronomy 7 and 6. We shared this with the young ladies so they understand who they are. So they don't get tripped up by all these losers out there trying to make them think that they're something when they are already something. We took them to Psalms 139 and what God gave us out of that. Before I was anything, God made me something. Said he formed her in the womb even before then. He knitted you. So before I was anything, God made me something. Yes. That's why you don't need anybody to try and tell you who you are. You're already there. Deuteronomy 7:6, for thou art a holy, consecrated, set apart people unto the Lord your God. Says the Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people. That being translated is a special treasure. We are a royal priesthood. We are a special treasure to God. Somebody should say amen. You should always be doing good because you're a special treasure. Even in the midst of what's going on. God has chosen you to be a special people unto himself above all. Somebody say, underline all. And you know, when you look up all, you know what it means? All, each, every, of all types. Above all people that are upon the what? Upon what? You're kidding me. So you're trying to tell me as a Christian, you're trying to tell me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's the only way. God said above all the people on the face of the earth. What about that little kid in Cambodia and China and Africa? Well, I don't know, but I know God is fair. I know that I've been chosen. I know there's missionaries all around the world. I know God is fair. I know God said he'll give everybody the opportunity to know about him before he comes back. So what about you? So let's not talk about, let's not go into Africa and China right now. Let's talk about you. It's always a diversion. But the word says right here, of all the people that's on the face of the earth. So what, I'm that special? I'm a special treasure that God has chosen me like that? Absolutely. So young Moody, when you go off to college, when you leave on Thursday, you know you're not just going by yourself. You're a special treasure. You're a kingly. Your father's a king. It's a certain way that you live. That's for all our kids when you're at school, this summer, whatever you're doing. You live like a king's kid. That's with the new man, with the newness of life. All right, let's go back to Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, which is the same thing, that special treasure that you should show forth. The praises of him who has called you out of darkness, watch out now, into his marvelous light. So you should always be praising God for nothing else, but he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light and made you a king's kid. Now that's exciting stuff. When I looked up darkness, it said shadiness. So he called us out of shadiness. Look at your neighbor and just look around. If you got glasses, any shady Christians in the house? We got any shady Christians in the house? Look around and see. He said he called us out of the shadiness. He said the word called meant to call aloud, utter a loud voice, to call by name. That you should allow the new man to dominate every day of your life. That's what he called you out for. I looked up you and I looked up out. It meant the same. You out. So God outed you and me. Out of this orderly system of deception into his marvelous light. Says stop being shady. And get into the. That's why we should praise him. That's why we show forth his praises. Because when you sit back and think, man, I was, whew, I could still be. Whoa. Thank God. So I didn't have to raise my my kids as a shady dad and be a shady husband or even a shady pastor. Unfortunately, I've met a few in my days. It shouldn't be, but they're out there. But when you don't know who you are, then I guess you live a shady life. But God said he's called you out. He selected you. He called you by name out of that stuff. Get out of there, he said. What are you doing? You're a king's kid. Why are you playing in the mud? Why are you still acting like that? Don't you know what I have for you? You're missing it. So he calls us out of darkness. And when I looked up the word marvelous, it says wonderful. So look what type of light. Before we get to the light, let's just look at marvelous light. Wonderful. Passing human comprehension. You can't even understand how beautiful it is to walk in the light. You can't even understand the joy unspeakable that comes with it. You can't even understand the peace that passes all understanding that comes with walking in that marvelous light. It's passing human comprehension. It's marvelous, which means it's excellent. It's causing amazement. But it's also joined with terror that you're just like, whoa, God, it's too much. It's extraordinary. It's striking and surprising. That's what type of light it is. And light, God is light. Pure brilliance, truth, and knowledge. So he's called us out of shadiness into his brilliance, his truth, and his knowledge, together with spiritual purity. It's marvelous. It's not just any type of light. It's a marvelous light. Wow. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. So it's going back to the old man and the new man. But remember, you weren't always like this. But now you are. And you didn't always obtain mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. And always been like this. But now it is. You didn't always have mercy, but now you have mercy. It gets better. Verse 11. Then Peter is saying, dearly beloved, he said, look, family, I love you so much. And he says, I beseech you. He said, but I'm begging you. I'm encouraging you. I'm exhorting you as strangers and pilgrims. He said, when you get the strangers, he says, you were strangers and pilgrims. What do you mean, Peter? He's saying, because you're Christians whose home is heaven. He said, I'm begging you as Christians whose home is heaven, that you don't get caught up in fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. You're in the midst of this war, but don't get caught up in it. I'm begging you. You're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. Don't let this world, this orderly system of deception, attract you so much that you forget that you're just passing through and that your home is actually heaven. Peter said, I'm begging you, please. This orderly system of deception, don't get caught in it. Peter says, I'm begging you. He just told us that we're a royal priesthood, that we've been set apart. Don't forget that. He says, now I'm begging you. And he said, the fleshly lust. He said, the fleshly under the control of animal appetites. Watch out now, Peter. You ain't got to go there. Guess Peter got to call it like you see it. You don't be under the control of animal appetites, governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God. That's what fleshly is. Let me say it again. Governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God, under the control of animal appetites. That's fleshly. And then the lust, desires. So animal desires, craving, longing, desiring for what is forbidden. Peter said, I'm begging you, as you're passing through, understand you're just passing through, and don't get caught up while you're passing through in all this other crazy stuff that's forbidden. Wow. This is Peter. And he says, which war against your soul. So that's the new man and the old man. So the new man says, no, I'm living right. The old man says, but what about this? New man says, no, I'm thinking right. I'm not going there today. The old man said, well, why don't you just turn to the adult channels? Just one last time. Just go out with a bang. Just look at it one more time. The new man says, no, I'm keeping myself, deleting stuff, deleting my Facebook, deleting the numbers out of my phone. The old man says, well, just call her and tell her. Just call him and tell him. Well, just stop by one more time because you need to tell him face to face so they really get it. That's what the old man says. Peter is saying, you're a king's kid now. You need to, I'm begging you. Verse 12, having your conversation honest, saying be honorable. So you can, remember, as I'm teaching the young ladies, I'm teaching us all. You can always tell by the conversation and the conduct. So that word goes hand in hand, conversation and the conduct. Either is talking about feeling good or having a great life in God. You can always read between the lines a message within the message. Young ladies, when you meet that guy, young men, when you run into that young lady, number one, young men, you could tell by the way she dressed if she just wants to have a good time or if she's looking for a great life in God. Most of the times, young men, 99.9, you can tell by the way she's dressed if she just wants to have a good time and entice and tantalize you and get you caught up, or if she's about God. Just by the way she's dressed. Ladies, you have to dig a little deeper because you're a little more loving and just it's just all starry-eyed. So you really have to listen to the conversation and see the conduct. And I run into it all the time. Hey, pastor, he's the one. Just met him, but I know he is. Just met him. Pastor's 3 weeks and he's everything I prayed for. Family, I hate to bust the bubble. Just check out the conduct and the conversation.
Amen.
Give it time. Pastor, you happy for me? Let me say it again. Just, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? No, you did not. God help us. Verse 12, having your conversation honest, you can tell by the conversation among the Gentiles that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold. See, you should be beholding good works. That's why you just watch. Not so much what they say. They got, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. What do you mean? God's saying when you live right, people will see God in you. And then when God comes and visits them, they'll give God glory. It's like some of the people who, maybe the first person that witnessed to you or the one who was really real about God. And you could tell in their life. And I remember, like I said, I always go back to when I asked my mom, and Mom, I went to church one day. I went to church one day when I was 8. That's all I remember. Who was it with? It was with Miss Thomas, Miss Moffitt, or Mama Bertha. And you could just, so when God visited me, I went back, wow. I give you glory for them, God, because they were so strong in the faith that although my mom and dad didn't go to church, they would come and take the kids from time to time. Because we all going to have that day of visitation. It's a day coming. People might not want to hear what you say, but God's going to send circumstances where they got to say, man, what is my life about? And they'll remember, man, that was a strong brother. That was a strong sister on the job, in the church, at the gym. They remember it. So God is saying, and Peter is saying, God is saying through Peter, When they behold your good works, they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. And it says that day is used in general time, the days of life. It's going to come a day in their life that God's going to visit them, just like he visited you and I. And as much as I ran from God, there was a day that came where I couldn't run anymore. And either God, I surrender, or God just turn me over to a reprobate mind because I'm going to do my own thing. But that day came. Brother Charles, Brother John, that day came. It came, obviously, with you all sitting here, a day came for you all too. Amen. Unless it's the kids and your parents are making you come. But either way, you'll look back and see the good works in your parents and say, I thank God that they made me come. Because you're going to have your day of visitation too. God will see to it. It's just the way this orderly system of deception is set up. So Peter's saying, remember who you are. Don't be shady. Live like a king's kid. Don't get caught up. You're just passing through this place. We read the other time how a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. You're just passing. So when you talk about 80 years of life, that's nothing. That's less than a day to the Lord. Oh, man, I live to be 80. OK, that's still less than a day for the Lord. A day is like 1,000 years. 80 years ain't nothing. That's less than a day to the Lord. You're just passing through. Don't get caught up with all this stuff as you're passing through. Let's turn back to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 and 8. So it 7 says that we, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So now you get that heirs part. You understand who you are, whose you are, and what God has for you. Amen? But then look at verse 8. It says, this is a faithful saying. Underline faithful saying. This is a true, this is a sure thing. Now we're back to Paul. Paul is saying, this heirship, this kingly priesthood, chosen, it is a faithful, it is a sure thing. He said, you affirm these constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So you doing good works is good and profitable. And this is where we stopped last week, and I was going to tell you how they're going to be good and profitable to you. Yeah, but it has to be next week. We're trying to get there. There is a reason why you should live right, be right, act right, and think right. They're good and profitable. So let us quickly pray. Because on the other hand, if I continue to let the old man rule and dominate, then there's no profit in that and there's nothing good in that. But there are profitable works and good works and things that come from that when I live right as a Christian man, young woman, boy or girl. So Lord, as we close out the service, but not your presence, praying maybe someone is here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I'm not an heir. I don't have the kingship. It's as simple. None of us had it until we surrendered unto God. It's nothing you can work for. You can't. It's not by works of righteousness. You'll never be good enough to work for this type of eternal life. That's religion. Relationship is God saying, my son has already died, accept a free gift. So if you're here and saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I'd like to pray with you right now. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you and pray with you to make sure that you understand that you are a king's kid and that you have a big brother And as you're not just looking up to the king of the school, but you're looking to the King of Kings. There are many kings, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus has your back, your front, your side, everything. Because he's everywhere, which we call omnipresence, everywhere at the same time. So if that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to accept Christ for the first time, I've never done it before, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear and you say, Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. I just, shucks, I've been shady. I've been in the darkness and I've been shady, and I know that I need the marvelous. I want to step into the marvelous light. I want to continuously walk in the marvelous light. Amen. If that's you, elevate your hand. Love to pray with you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't have a church home, and I love to worship. I love the word. I love the spirit and the presence of God here. I want to make South Bay Abundant Life Church my church home. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family, and I'd love to be your pastor. So if you have any of the spiritual needs, Christ, rededication, or membership, family, ship. Elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. Lord, what a blessing it is to be in your house today, to celebrate with the Father, our Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the earthly fathers. Without a Heavenly Father, we wouldn't know how to live as an earthly father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We love you. It's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Now that you've challenged us to live right, Lord, we accept the challenge. God, we want to do better. We want the new man to dominate today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our life. And we know if we practice, Lord, we'll get good at it. We thank you that you've come that we might have life, and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, hug someone. You are dismissed. Happy Father's Day. Happy Daddy's Day.
Okay. That's our school, June August the 23rd.